This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with my good friend, special guest, Scott Leary. Scott is a federal prosecutor from the Northern District of Mississippi. He's a happily married man, his lovely wife, Mary. Together, they have 7 children. And also, he's a member of the St. John the Evangelist Parish in Oxford, Mississippi, a place where there's not too many Catholics. But Scott began with us yesterday. Hopefully, we'll have him here the entire week. And he's telling his story because I think it's an inspiring one. It's an important one for people to be able to hear, and both in terms of really what does it mean to really be engaged as a Catholic, number one, as a father, as a husband, as a lawyer, but also how do you bring your faith into the world today, in the real world, in the way that Pope Francis is telling us to do, and how do you smell the sheep, and how do you walk with them, and all that. I think Scott's a great example of that. Welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, so we left off yesterday. By the way, friends, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the program yesterday, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. Just click on the radio link and you'll get it. Scott's programs, but also previous programs are there for at least the last 6 months, I think, you'll have access to. And feel free to browse the website. There's a lot of free stuff. There's a lot of good booklets and articles and products that you can take a look at. But also our television shows, The Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal are there as well. So, but Scott, let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Yeah, I believe I was explaining that I was a young man married in my mid-20s, getting in my late 20s, and growing in my faith. And as we discussed earlier, had 1 foot in the Catholic Church and 1 foot in evangelical Protestantism, and really didn't see a conflict with that. I went to law school, my wife and I did, in 1988, we started. And my wife was pregnant with our first child, Forrest. And we had Forrest between semesters our first year of law school, which, if you went to law school, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. My wife was like 9 months pregnant taking first semester exams. And we had a baby over Christmas, and then we just kept going, you know. And we were young and didn't know what we were doing and raising babies, and I think that's great. We need more people young, not know what they're doing, raising babies. And God loves it when people do that. But I continued in my Protestant journey, and I slowly evolved into a conservative Calvinist evangelical Protestant is where I gravitated towards.
What does that mean?
Well, there's a denomination in the South called the Presbyterian Church of America. I'm not sure to the degree to which it's here in the northern United States. It started in the 1970s. Conservative Calvinism is Reformed theology, and they are evangelical in their beliefs, sola fide, faith alone, scripture alone. But there's a twist to it in that they're Calvinist, in that they believe in predestination, okay, which is ultimately double predestination. And when I say that God predestines those to heaven before they're born, and also before people are born, chooses to deny his grace.
So they end up separated from him forever in hell.
Forever. So it's, and you know, if you're just going to bust it down, it's God predestines you to heaven or hell before you're born. And it's not like that, you know, that may shock people, but there's actually, if you're going to just pick up the Bible today, 2,000 years after Christ died, and just going to read it by yourself and going to come up with your own theology, I can see there are aspects of this predestination issue,
sure,
in Scripture, but I became very studious in my faith and listened to theologians. R.C. Sproul would be one that I was really gravitated towards. I liked his style, his delivery, and he was very systematic. He could explain scripture by scripture a basis for what his particular Calvinistic denomination believed. And then I started hearing these critiques of Catholicism that were sprinkled in. The Catholic Church is wrong here and here and here. And I got to the point, Peter, where I became very anti-Catholic. Now, this is not something that happened overnight. This is several-year journey. And I got to where I couldn't sit through Mass. So read whatever is read into that, but I literally had trouble sitting through Mass. And my wife was devastated. and confused. And I was confused. But she knew that this journey we were on was authentic. It was not like, it was not complete rebellion. In fact, I was seeking Catholics to tell me. And I really just, it may have been God's plan. I may not have been looking hard enough. I'd never found CUF, Catholics United for the Faith. Yeah. Never found Jupiter. So I was down there in the Southeast United States, and I was not getting, I mean, I met with priests, and I had my little list of Protestant objections, and I would draw them. I said, I'd draw them like a gun. And really, I got insufficient responses to them.
That made you feel like maybe they are wrong. Maybe. They can't even answer this. I'm talking to people who are professionals, quote unquote, but they can't even answer it. So maybe these guys like Sproul and others, maybe they're right.
Maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're right. And then you have somebody talk to you about, oh, look at the sins of the Catholic Church over the centuries. And how do you explain that? Well, I can explain that now, but I sure couldn't then.
Right.
It got to a point where we'd go to Mass early in the morning and then go to Protestant church afterwards. My wife, she would say this, and she would say, Scott, it's never over. I will go to a church service, hear great speaking, but it's never over because there's no Eucharist. And she was nailing it. And she didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was nailing it. And I was telling her, you know, it's just vestiges of your upbringing, darling. We'll get through this. I became kind of a, you know, this is probably going to upset people, but I can, there's a Protestant evangelical movement from D. James Kennedy. He's a Protestant minister from Coral Gables, Florida. I believe he's deceased now. And he started something called Evangelism Explosion. The premise is you talk to people in your attempt to evangelize them, and you, there's sort of a script you follow. If you were to die today, and Christ was looking at you saying, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And there's sort of a response to that. I'm not proud of this now, but I actually went to an RCIA program at our church and actually gave the Evangelism Explosion script to everybody at the RCIA program at our church, which was a sneaky thing to do. I don't think the priest even knew what I was up to. But I was sincere, but misguided, but sincere from the standpoint that I actually wanted people to hear the gospel. Yeah. You know, how about that? So that tells you the point I was at. We were meeting with the vicar general of our diocese, and I was challenging him with my objections, Peter. And he looked at me one day and said, Scott, I fear for your soul if you leave the Catholic Church. And I said, you know, I've been on this journey for, you know, 3 or 4 years now, 5 years. It's a sincere journey, and you're telling me that you think I may go to hell? And I'm not even getting the answers to questions that I have. I was pretty outraged by that. And so one Wednesday in 1992, I said, that's it. I'm not going back to the Catholic Church. And my wife was with me, and she said, for the first time, okay, it's over. I'll go with you. We're going to go be Protestant. It was not really a happy moment, but we both talk about it. It's extremely vivid. It was sort of, it was branded on me that moment. It was over. Mary was distraught. She's got an aunt that's a nun. Her family's very Catholic. She was going to have to tell her mom. Her mom was already losing her mind because of our journey anyway. Yeah. And if she was going to announce our exodus from the Catholic Church, that's going to be a big deal. The next day, I'm working at a law firm in Jackson, Mississippi. And the next day, a guy walks up to me named John Drisdale. If John Drisdale ever hears this, hey, John Drisdale, I'm telling your story, brother. John's 10 years older than me, and he's a partner. He was just hired that week in the law firm that I'm working for. And he walks up to me and says, John, Scott, it's my first week here. You're Catholic. I want to meet with you to find a good parish. And I'm thinking to myself, because I'm a bit pompous and I still have to work on that, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving me another Catholic so that I can share the gospel with. Yeah. So I'm like, sure, John, let's go out to lunch. And we go out to lunch, and this is Thursday, the day after our exodus. And so I'm about to get into private revelation, folks, which is, you know, this is my testimony. It's my story. I can't change it because it's just what it is. We we went out to lunch, and John says, Scott, I just converted to Catholicism, and I'm trying to find a new church. And I was like, John, why would somebody convert to Catholicism? Because I put him on the spot. Why would you do that, John? And he said, well, I can give you the eight-hour story or the one-hour story. We've got lunch. I'll give you the one-hour story. And I'm like, sure, lay it on me, buddy. And John explains that he was Episcopal. Lord starts moving in his life. He starts searching. He goes to Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, and he's just trying to find the right niche. And really, Catholic was not something that was pinging on his radar screen. And Peter, he read a book on Medjugorje, of all things. And for people that don't know what Medjugorje is, that's a group of young people called visionaries, allegedly, I'll say allegedly because the church has not ruled on this yet, but received visions of the Virgin Mary and messages from the Virgin Mary, much like Fatima or Lourdes, that type thing. So he reads a book on this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, a Mary story. You know, God, this guy's confused, is what I'm saying to myself. And so he tells me the story, and it's complete with miracles. He takes his kid, his son, on a senior trip. He kind of fibs to his wife and says, I'm taking my son to Europe. And they go to Europe, and he makes a beeline to Yugoslavia at the time. It's now Bosnia, where the little town of Medjugorje is located, where these visions are occurring. And he goes there. He says, I arrive, and there are people from all over the world there. It's mass chaos. It was really alive. I think it's, to this day, there may be one visionary that's still receiving visions, but it's, at this time, it was very active. And he gets slain in the spirit, so it's sort of a Holy Ghost moment for him. And he didn't know what was happening to him, and he can just, he's like, I'm just telling you what happens, God. And he sees miracles, and he even takes a picture of one and shows it to me, and I'm like, you know, He tells me the story. He said when he got back, one thing was for certain, that he was Catholic. I told him, well, John, what you've told me hasn't convinced me of anything. The timing of this, though, is confusing for me because yesterday I finalized my exodus from the Catholic Church, and today I'm having this conversation with you. What happened next, by the grace of God, changed my life.
Yeah, and we have just a few seconds left, so maybe we're going to hold that over till tomorrow, and it's a carrot, friends, for you to tune back in tomorrow and to hear Scott's story because it's pretty amazing. And you had—it's interesting how you had a strong Campus Crusade for Christ guy enter your life as a young man and look you in the eye and speak to you straight, and he got your attention. You also have this Catholic guy now who enters into your world, and he starts talking to you mano a mano. He's looking at you, telling you, and challenging you. And friends, this is partly what the church means by the new evangelization. It's one heart speaking to another heart, one beggar telling another beggar where the feast is. That's really where it is. And this kind of thing is happening all over the world, all over the country, where Catholics with courage and conviction and love in their heart are sharing the truth about the faith with people who don't understand. Most people have false understanding of what the Catholic Church is. So, Scott, it's just great to hear that story. Friends, have a wonderful day. Hope to see you tomorrow. God bless.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.